You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
So, vision for the year. As we talk through the vision of the year, I wanna tell you all a story. I had the privilege to travel a lot throughout this year, going to DC, California with friends. But one of the most powerful of these trips that I took was a mission trip to Peru to do ministry there. Shout out to the DEES program and to Go International. So thankful for them because they made all of that happen. I felt like I was way in over my head, but they took care of me the whole time. And DEES is a wonderful program, so you should definitely utilize that. But it's neither here nor there. And while in Peru, I just had this sense of awakening, I think. I don't know, as an American who has not done a whole lot of travel throughout his life, being able to go to do something like this and go on mine, this was my first mission trip, by the way, was a shattering, essentially, of my worldview. And piecing back together this stained glass view of the world that is very different than what I'm expected, my worldview is just, I don't know, I'm still putting it together again, is what it feels like. And while I was there in Peru, I encountered this word, and it was reminded of me of my good friend Courtney Kawada, who actually served on cabinet last year. She did her art exhibition, and I went there and was walking through it. And the central focus of this art exhibition was the word sonder. I didn't know what sonder meant. You might not know either, so I brought a definition. Which is the profound realization that every single person has a life as vivid and complex as your own, a life full of ambitions, friends, routines, worries, triumphs that you will never know. And it struck me, as I'm sure your all's first mission trips, if you've gone on one, has probably struck you, it created, to quote John Steinbeck, who wrote East of Eden, I have a new love for that glittering instrument that is known as the human soul. And so I had the privilege to work with children the ages 6 through 12 and really see this impact of like generational poverty and hurt and abuse that kind of comes in some of these spaces. And so this really struck a chord in me. I met a little girl. Her name is Gia, and she had these little pink glasses. She was awesome at math, way smarter than me, and she's 8, so that's insane. And she was just a joy. And I actually had the privilege to do an interview with Gia to hear about her story. And Gia had walked a very, very difficult road. Gia's father was in prison. Her mother had passed. The grandfather that raised her had also passed only a month before. And so her grandmother was raising her alone in a very bad part of Lima. And yet, throughout the whole interview, she was talking about Christ, she was talking about her prayer life, I just was like, oh my gosh. When Christ talks about the least of these and he talks about the children of God, this is what he meant. It was beautiful. Gia's faithfulness in the midst of adversity was one of the most beautiful things I'd ever experienced. I'm sure you all have met Gia, a Gia. Another person that I felt led to share about was my host mom, Wilma Grandez. And the only way I have to describe her as a Mother Teresa of South America. She is a warrior, prayer warrior in the faith. She was amazing. She built brick by brick this flourishing school and sanctuary for young children to be able to be poured into and raised in the faith and to be a safe haven in the midst of so much struggle and brokenness. her persistence and faithfulness was staggering. I couldn't even comprehend it. The obedience that Wilma Grandes walked and surrendered to Christ, amazing. While we were there, there were many times where Wilma would simply like walk around the neighborhood inviting people to church, persistently inviting people to come. And through her faithfulness, I saw so much fruit in her walk. I just, it was amazing. And I remember one day, Wilma had this habit of throwing me up on stage and be like, okay, you're going to give a sermon now, or, oh, you're going to lead this devotional now. And I was like, what? I'm not prepared for this at all. And I was very freaked out. And after that, I had some sort of sermon or something prepped after that, but she did that a lot to me. And I remember one particular time, she threw me up there, and I was going to give my testimony. And I attempted to do it in very, very poor Spanish. It was awful. And just when you think things won't get worse, an earthquake happens while I'm standing there speaking. And so the building's rocking, things are falling. I actually have a video of this. It was crazy. And Wilma stands up, and she puts her hands in the air, and she just starts praying. And so no natural disaster is going to stop her from praising God, praying for safety and strength over the building, and it was just amazing. And not only was Wilma doing this, but the entire congregation did this. And I'm sitting there just like, what is happening? I've never seen an earthquake. I'm just standing there awkwardly, not knowing really what's going on. And by the time it's over, I'm just like, I don't even know what just happened. And Wilma's like, well, keep going. So that happened. but I say these stories because they're not just testaments to these people, specifically as individuals. It is, in a certain sense. But it's a testament to the power that comes through putting your trust in Christ. And so, in spite of all these things and all these hardships, God was there. That's my point. And it's also my point to say that Wilma's why and the why that we have is going to directly shape what we do, right? Wilma's why was, you know, pursuing Christ with everything she had, right? And she wasn't going to let anything stop her. Not earthquakes, not a corrupt government, not anything, right? She's going to just do it. And when I'm thinking here, and when we all discussed our vision for student government for the year, our heart really landed on this aspect of unity, and specifically unity at the cornerstone of Christ. Where are we building our foundation, Asbury? I'm not much into boxing, but I was talking about a friend about Buster Douglas. I don't know if you all know him, but in 1990, Buster Douglas shocked the world by defeating Mike Tyson in Tokyo. At the time, Mike Tyson, which I'm sure many of you all have heard about Mike Tyson, he was very good at boxing, okay? He was undefeated and the undisputed heavyweight champion and considered basically unbeatable, and Douglas was the underdog. And so not many people thought it was even plausible. And by the eighth round, after Douglas had been knocked down many times, he was knocked down and everyone thought he was gone. It was it. And he got back up. And he actually, after getting back up in the 10th round, he delivered a crushing uppercut to Tyson and won the boxing match. And it was insane. Insane to go back and watch. And he was actually asked afterward, you know, why, like, how did he do it? And you see, Douglas, the night before, had just lost his mom. And he said, I told my mom I was going to beat Mike Tyson. And so when I was laying there on the ground, I knew what I had to do. And his why was stronger than best boxing champion there was, right? So your why is important, all I have to say. Our why is powerful. So Asbury, what is your why? When we all sat down as a cabinet to talk through what we wanted Asbury Student Congress to be shaped by, a lot of us were throwing around these ideas of we knew we wanted unity, we wanted the cornerstone, and Gabbard, I think it was Gabbard, we brought to Ephesians 2:19-22, and I'll read that for you all, that says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens, the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Now, this year, we want to live into our why. We want to lean into the cornerstone of unity on this campus because, like I said, the society that we live in has problems. But this campus community that we all love and cherish has been steadily built brick by brick by individuals that have been Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Dr. Brown spoke to us Monday, inviting us into a place of friction, to not shy away, but to step in to those places that might be difficult. But rather, I would ask us to even more so, not just step in, but to throw yourself into the forging crucibles that will shape you, will shape us. He told us, we do not need permission to initiate. So I'm asking you to initiate. I'm asking you to step forward. We know our foundation. We know our cornerstone. Christ makes that very clear. Together, we as students can and will be the impact in that corrective generation that this world needs because we're disillusioned. Now, we've lived in this world of digital advertisements and attention economy for a long time, and we've heard a lot of lies, and I think we are a generation really seeking truth. And so we're more than some sort of united slogan or group identity, but rather we are united by the cornerstone laid for us by Christ on the cross. Gabbard, so as I kind of wrap up here to begin to conclude, Gabbard in one of our meetings, our beloved SLB member, said something very wise. He talked about dying with an unmarked grave. And I think a lot of people, we live in this world with whitewashed tombs. They're very clean on the outside, and they're dead on the inside. And I would just encourage you in your walk that I know that it's hard. But I would also speak a word of encouragement because I've seen this in my own walk, that Christ is walking with you every step, whether you realize it or not. That you, as a student and as a person, have the power of Christ within you. And that means that you are indeed capable to step out and lead. And so the ASC theme of this cornerstone of unity, it's not just a throwaway line, comes from belief and confidence that together we can be the corrective and disillusioned generation that this culture sorely needs. It's about less of us and more of him. It isn't about name or fame, but rather it's about standing against the powers and principalities and forces of darkness that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. It's about dying with an unmarked grave, known only to Christ. So I want to conclude with one of my favorite lines from Lord of the Rings. Dr. Devin Brown really impressed this into me. And so I'm going to read it to you, and that'll be that. It says, Tolkien says, quote, "The world is indeed full of peril, and in it there are many dark places. But still there is much that is fair, and though in all lands love is now mingled with grief, it grows perhaps the greater." Thank you, Asbury.